Welcome to the first episode of the Blended Beat Coffee Grab podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Paula Barnard-Ashton, and each week we will host a guest who will share their ideas, current trends, and innovations in blended learning. For this debut episode, we invited our Dean, Professor Shabir Mahdi, to share his vision of blended learning for the Faculty of Health Sciences at Wits University. Welcome, Professor Mahdi.
Thank you for having me. Excited to be here.
So before we get into it, I think we should share a little bit about our Dean. As well as being our Dean, Professor Mahdi is Professor of Vaccinology and a Witsy through and through. He holds specialities in pediatrics and intensive care with a subspecialty in infectious diseases. He is Director of the South African Medical Research Council Vaccines and Infectious Diseases Analytics Research Unit and is co-director of the African Leadership Initiative for Vaccinology Expertise. Professor Mahdi is an A-rated National Research Foundation scientist who is a multi-award winner and internationally recognized for his research on vaccines. But today he's here to talk about blended learning at the faculty. So to get stuck into it, I think the faculty has a lot of initiatives around blended learning. There's Professor Lala's pediatric clinical videos. There's the E-Zone, which obviously is my baby, that looks at active blended learning that's happening in the classroom. What is your sort of impression, or how do you value blended learning in the Faculty of Health Sciences as a way to engage with students? And where do you see it going?
So like you mentioned, I started at the university in 1985. And over time, I've been reflecting on what has been happening in the faculty. And obviously, my training was in the MBBCH program. And I sort of engaged with students that were in the MBBCH program. And what struck me until just before COVID-19 was that it appeared that the manner in which we were engaging with students, the manner in which we were delivering content, the manner in which we were trying to get students to engage with knowledge, hadn't actually shifted much compared to what it was in 1985.
And the lecturer standing in front and talking at.
Absolutely, and that is a problem. There have been some tweaks, there's been thematic sort of approaches, but in terms of the bigger picture, there seems to be something that's lacking. Now, we're living in a world that is changing exponentially by the day, and that is not an exaggeration. When we see what has happened just since towards the end of last year and up until now with ChatGPT and the phenomenal amount of knowledge that's been generated and its ability to actually, in a sense, put knowledge that otherwise wouldn't have been available to us right in front of us at the press of a button.
Absolutely.
Those are fundamental changes in terms of how knowledge is being delivered and the potential to actually make use of these two sort of tools. So I think the approach that we're taking in the faculty comes at a very timeless moment in history, in fact, and I'm not exaggerating again. We need to ask ourselves, are we using the best tools that are available? Despite all of the resource constraints we might face, are we using the best tools to be able to deliver knowledge to our students in a manner which assists them in terms of being able to collate the knowledge and at the same time internalize it and then use that knowledge? And that is the challenge we face. So gone are the days that we need to just be delivering content. It's not about delivering content. It's a manner in which content is delivered, which will influence the ability of the students to absorb, which is really overload of content at this point in time. And so we expect our students to absorb much more, and we can't fault ourselves because that is the way the world is evolving. There's much more knowledge that's generated, and consequently, you need to be able to absorb more to remain relevant. So there's no compromising that we need to our students to remain relevant. But we need to become innovative in how we go about imparting that knowledge, how we do the teaching and training, and that's where blended learning, in my mind, comes into being. We shouldn't fool ourselves that as a university, we do not have the breadth of expertise that's required to deliver what is essential content on many fronts. But we've got opportunities. We've got opportunities that we need to leverage off, be it involving alumni or even be it actually using resources that are freely available in the public domain on the internet and see how we integrate that in terms of the manner in which we deliver content as well as the type of content that we actually deliver to students. So one of the initiatives that you sort of mentioned is something that started off with two pediatricians, Prof. Zia Denga and Prof. Sinjilala. And they were becoming frustrated, as an example, that we had this different approach to how we were training medical students. But when they came to the bedside, they lacked fundamental skills in terms of how to approach the patient. So they asked themselves, where is this gap? And then they realized that students are simply not being delivered content appropriately at an early stage of their training, which equips them to come to the bedside and then to go to the next step of the training. So they decided, well, we've got all of this IT equipment around us. We've got all of this people that are dealing with education and everything else. Why don't we have a different approach to this? And they came up with, I wouldn't even call it novel, because there's other people that have done similar, but in a different context. So in a context-specific sort of scene, they decided, well, we'll make use of this and let us start becoming innovative in terms of how we prepare students to take that next step from sort of the lecture theater into the clinical space. And that is now developing this sort of modules which equip students in terms of understanding how to approach a patient, how to examine a patient before they actually put their hands on a patient, so that by the time they come to the bedside, they're comfortable, that they've been adequately equipped in terms of how to engage with a patient. Now, this is something which is practical. It's not even theoretical. It's not even content material. No, it's just practical.
It's clinical. It's skills.
Absolutely. Yeah. And in the past, we would say, well, you need to develop that skill by seeing the patient. But it's unfair on the patient for someone that's ill-equipped to actually examine them to be prodding around.
Absolutely.
And causing discomfort. So this is obviously leveraging on a sort of technology to better equip our students to basically interface with students on a basis which is much more kind to the patients themselves. But at the same time, the students also are much more comfortable in terms of what they're doing.
I was going to say, I think it gives the students confidence going into a clinical environment. If even on the bus, on their way to the clinical, they can watch a video because they know that they're likely to get this type of pediatric patient. And that way they walk into the environment feeling confident and prepared and that they know what they're going to be doing. And as you say, it respects the patient's rights as well, which is very important.
Absolutely. And I think we need to bring that into our lecture theatres. So as an example, I had an opportunity after more than 15 years of lecturing one of our undergraduate classes. And the part of the lecture which excited the class most was not me talking to them, but showing them a video to sort of internalize the concepts which I was trying to get through. Now, that's not a video that I generated. It was a snippet that was generated by someone else, an excellent sort of piece in terms of getting students to understand how a vaccine works. Now, I could easily have rambled on for 1 hour about what a vaccine is, but it's not going to really settle in the mind of a student in terms of what this vaccine is actually doing. So when we're talking of blended learning, it's not about getting away from face-to-face. Yeah. Face-to-face engagement remains essential.
Important.
Absolutely. And especially for a university such as the Witwatersrand, and even more so for the Faculty of Health Sciences, face-to-face engagement between the lecturers and the students is something that we're not going to get away from. And we should resist any push to just deliver content online and believe that we're doing anyone justice by doing that. That is not what blended learning is about. But it's about integrating into our lectures and using the type of tools that are available in the public domain and see how we actually use that as part of our lectures to basically get students excited, that they actually want to come to the class.
Absolutely.
And I think that's where we're lacking at the moment. The lecturers complain that students are not coming to my class. When I ask students, why don't you come to the lectures? They tell me, well, it doesn't help us to come to lectures when the lecturer is just reading from the PowerPoint slide they put up on a board.
They could just as easily read the textbook and come away with the same information.
Probably more.
I mean, I think that that's very valid. I think the students learn best when they're doing. And whether that's theoretical content or whether it's clinical and skills, if they're actively participating in whatever the knowledge content piece is, they're more likely to internalize, memorize. It reduces the cognitive load. The concentration spans stick with the program. And I mean, I think we know that the 50-minute standard lecture where somebody stands in the front and just talks at their students is not going to get the students really engaged or thinking about that material. And I think that brings me to the emergency remote online solutions that we had during the pandemic, where a lot of people converted their 50-minute lectures into 50 or 55-minute voiceover PowerPoints and uploaded those. That was an emergency response. I mean, it was a way of us getting at the students on the spot. But we need to transition now. And as you say, we need to move away from just giving the students passive content and shifting to blended learning where the students are actively engaged.
Yeah. Well, we need to do more in transition. We need to totally abandon any habit of delivering just voice over PowerPoint presentations to students and believe that we're actually delivering content. Because the students could get much more information in a much more structured manner by going to YouTube and basically doing a search for exactly the same. So that needs to be abandoned completely. As you correctly pointed out, it was required as an emergency measure at a point in time, but it was never the intention of the faculty or the university for that to become the norm. And any lecturer that believes that just their main purpose is just to deliver content actually misses a point about why students are here. They're here to learn. And to learn means that they need to be adequately taught. And to be adequately taught, we need to use every tool that's available to us to ensure that we're actually providing content in a manner which students would become excited about the content and internalize the content. So I wouldn't say that we need to transition from voice over PowerPoint presentations. That needs to be abandoned totally.
Yes,
and we need to seriously ask ourselves, what is blended learning and how do we actually use the tools available to us to actually impart knowledge?
I agree totally. And I think it doesn't mean abandoning online. It means abandoning the types of content that are not actually going to produce a good learning outcome. And we want the students actively engaged. So if they're doing an online quiz that relates to some of the content, if they're participating in a game or a challenge, or those are the things that ignite the students' thinking. If you're giving them a scenario and making them have a discussion online where they've actually got to produce their own insights, they've got to use clinical reasoning, they've got to use judgment, they've got to have some argumentation, they've got to be able to back up what they're saying. It's a very different kind of thing to giving them notes or giving them a voice over PowerPoint.
So, absolutely.
I'm excited about the way forward with blended learning. But Prof, I think one of my main questions is, why is blended learning valuable in health professions in terms of readying our students for the 21st century world of work? And why is it valuable in health sciences? Where are we going that this is something that we need our students to be equipped with?
Yeah, so we're reaching a different, I wouldn't say different, but we need to sort of allow for our students to be much more critical in thought. And for me, when we talk of critical in thought, it means that we need to challenge our students. And one of the ways of challenging students is a flip learning concept, where we use these tools, we familiarize students with these tools that are out in the public domain, actually get them to start engaging with the tools before they come to the lecture theater on the same subject. Right? And that is when we start getting the interaction rather than just a didactic type of approach, where we start getting the interaction going. But at the end of the day, again, it goes down to the issue that I mentioned, is that knowledge is increasing at an exponential rate.
We can't keep up.
Yeah, when I was a medical student, I was told that the half-life of knowledge was about 9 to 10 years. This was when I graduated in 1990. I was told that in 9 to 10 years, everything that you've learned now, most of it won't be relevant. What do we see happening right now? The half-life of knowledge is shrinking to 1 to 2 months. Okay, that is frightening. It's frightening. It means that anything that you learned a few years ago is likely to be outdated. Between the time of doing your third year of medicine and graduating, as an example, you probably need to relearn a fair amount because of the progress that's been made, not because you were taught anything wrong, but just simply because of the progress that is made. So when it comes to blended learning, we need to start introducing these concepts to students in terms of how they need to engage with technology, how they need to engage with material that would otherwise not be provided to them on a table, but that is still available to them freely in a public domain. So those sort of engagements, and it's really about ensuring that our students are trained appropriately and remain relevant to the 21st century and remain competitive at an international level.
Absolutely.
And those are the challenges that we face. And the only way, we can't do it just by having lecturers deliver material online. We can't do it without the students starting to take responsibility for their own learning. And that's also a critical component.
I think that raises a very important aspect because, as you say, knowledge is everywhere and they have access to knowledge in the moment, even at the bedside or when they come across a patient that they've never seen this diagnostic profile or combination of diagnoses in a single patient, having access to information and knowing how to use it, knowing how to validate that this information is current, that it is the best practice or evidence-based, and that they are able to critically review in a short time span that allows them to act and apply in the moment. And I think that is a skill that students need to learn. It doesn't come naturally, but I do think understanding what is valid information and how to get your fingertips on the current evidence is important.
Absolutely. And what you're talking about, we're talking about blended learning on one hand, we're talking about now blended practice. Mm. And that's going to be the future. And as a faculty, part of what we initiated when I started as dean was a revision of the curriculum. And it's important for that curriculum revision to take place, not just about content, but also about what exactly is it that we're going to be, Israel, if it speaks to content, what is it that we're going to be teaching students? So in this day and age, for any medical curriculum, even for any curriculum in any of the health sciences field, not to include AI and the use of AI as part of practice basically means that we're not training students for the 21st century. When we talk of the type of scenario that you talked about, there's a number of tools that have already been, besides ChatGPT, there are other tools that have now been designed specific for healthcare. To the point that it would embarrass any professor in terms of being able to come up with a differential diagnosis, with a diagnostic plan, with a management plan. Right now, these are tools that are already out there in the public domain, right? And it's our responsibility to ensure that our students are equipped to know how to use those tools and use it responsibly. So it's not that you're going to believe everything that you see or read, especially in this era of misinformation and disinformation. We need to be careful, but we need to guide our students as to which tools are appropriate and how to use those tools responsibly in the interest of the patients.
And I think interest of the patients is a key factor, because by using good diagnostic tools that are starting to emerge, you're able to diagnose a patient far quicker based on the clinicals, the lab tests and everything, the likelihood of them profiling in a particular way, which means that you actually get access to more patients have access to the healthcare system because the processes are more efficient.
Absolutely.
I think blended learning is the starting point of planting the seeds in our undergraduates, but it really is about how you use the technology and how you build it into your healthcare practice as you emerge as a graduate.
So, absolutely.
All right. Is there anything else you'd like to add or bring up before we close?
I mean, as a dean, what I'm really excited about is the people that we have in the faculty. And the success of our sort of change in approach in how we engage with students, how we deliver content, how we get students excited, really depends on the staff in the faculty and people like yourself and others. I think that really is exciting, that we have people that are passionate about wanting to do what's in the best interest of the students. I think the other part that we didn't really chat about when it comes to blended learning and allowing students access to material at their own leisure is that it also brings about some level of equity in terms of learning abilities on the part of students. Not all students are equally equipped when they come to the university. And by making this sort of materials available at the convenience of the students, obviously also assists the students in terms of ensuring success across the sort of socioeconomic divide. And I think that's another important component that we need to keep in mind. And again, it also speaks about how we use blended learning to actually assist those students that are more disadvantaged when they come into a university environment compared to the student that perhaps had the privilege of going to a better resource school. So I think there's a number of other dimensions. The equity part of what blended learning offers us is something that we can't also ignore. But at the end of the day, like I said, success of this program depends on our staff, and I'm convinced that in the faculty we're getting the right people in place to take us to where we should be as a faculty in assisting our students to be successful.
I'm very excited about the way forward, I really am. But I think in closing, thank you so much, Prof. Mahdi, for being our first guest. It's been really insightful to have a discussion with you today.
Thank you for the invite. Very much enjoyed it.
And that was Professor Shabir Mahdi, Dean of the Faculty of Health Sciences, joining us to share his vision for blended learning in the faculty. We hope you've enjoyed listening to this episode and look forward to having more conversations with you next week.